Blog Talk Radio.
The hiatus is over. We are 100% rested, ready to go. Time to get the show on the road. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and I am on cloud nine. Like I said, the hiatus is over, and we are coming back with the fully loaded show, with fully loaded topics, and we're coming out the gate with a 100% incredible guest as well. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Great time. A little bit later. We'll be a little bit later on Thursday as well. So we are right here. Like I said, we're back and ready to go. Tons of topics today. Tons of things to get into. We're talking ASU football. What the hell is going on at my school? It's going on. The Suns are back. They're ownerless. So I'm thinking about calling. Let's see. We probably need about $2 billion. So I'm thinking about calling maybe, I don't know, a whole bunch of friends. See if we can start a GoFundMe. Maybe we buy the Suns. So we're going to talk about them. They had media day yesterday. Of course, I was there front and center. So we were ready to go with that. The Cardinals. Okay, I'm going to give my outlook on the Cardinals. It probably will not be too popular here in Phoenix, but it's the truth. And you know that I am America's favorite truth teller, so I'm going to let you know. And then a couple of disappointments in the NFL, some teams that should be better, some teams that really are where they should be, and some teams that we shouldn't be surprised about. So we're going to get into that as well. I am not this season going to bombard you with a bunch of Laker talk because they've done nothing. They're not going to do anything. So I'm not going to waste everyone's time talking about them on the show, but I am going to talk about them a little bit today. On with me, the one and only Ed Cole. This guy is everywhere. There is nothing that he does not cover or do or hear or there. He is literally everywhere. So he'll be joining me very shortly here on The Cave Show. We're brought to you, of course, by the one and only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Two locations now. One on Alma School and Chandler Heights, and one on Main Street in Dobson. One in Mesa, the latter, and the other one is in Chandler. We will be out there on Friday for a live show, so keep up with us on social media for all the details. But get in there and definitely check them out. Let them know that PLR sent you from The Cave Show. You get 10% off of your cigar purchase when you mention The Cave Show and PLR. We do have a members-only room. It is beautiful. I've been a member for over 10 years. Everything you want is there. It's the comfort of being at home without actually being at home. You get a locker that backs up to the humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. TVs, microwaves, refrigerators, everything that you want to fill at home, and a ton of TVs. So definitely get down there and check that out. Now, if you don't become a member, no worries at all there. All you have to do is go down there and sit down, and there's a ton of TVs everywhere. Great humidor, a great selection of sticks in the humidor. If you can't even get down to do that, just go to stogieworld.com, order your cigars online. If you order early enough in the day, they will ship out the exact same day. All this goes down at Maduro's Fine Cigar Like I said, I'm not doing this alone. I don't have to lift this whole show by myself. I have the one only set to come on with me, Ed Cole, my man. I got to give him a little bit of love as he comes on, though, because the brother's just cool. I don't think you know anything about that. The one only Ed Cole. Hang on, bro. What you know about this?
Man, come on. Who you know about?
Man, I know you were too busy listening to Jefferson Starship, Jefferson Airplane. So I didn't know you were down with that.
No, man, I made time for that. Come on.
Okay, I'm just saying, what is the story?
You got to make time for the jams, boy. Come on now.
hey, you know, my phone number used to be 777-9311 back in the day.
Yeah. But that's still the cut, bro. That is still the cut.
Always. Always. Especially for us old cats. What is going on?
That's a vague statement, brother. What you asking?
I see. Is there something you're not announcing in the Valley of the Sun? Everywhere, every time I turn around, I turn on social media, there you are. I look up at somewhere else, there you are. I hear a commercial playing on the radio, there you are.
Oh, well, you know, I, of course I'd like to announce that I'm a member of the greatest fraternity known to God and man, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. I know you would take umbrage with that, but that's the truth. On the yo, to all my Kappa brothers out there, on the yo.
On take umbrage? No, I wouldn't take umbrage because it was just a flat-out lie. We all know the greatest fraternity to man is Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, founded in 1906. The very first. If it wasn't for us, there'd be nobody. But that's a whole other conversation. Don't get me started today.
Don't get me started. Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
don't get me started.
We can talk D9 all night long.
Okay, let me stop there. Before we get into sports, let me stop there.
I don't know
what that means. Because let me go ahead and clear this up. And if someone out there wants to call and yell at me, the number is real easy. It's 563-993-0012. I don't understand D9. I pledged a long time ago. I know the Elite Eight. See, there's the Alphas, and then there's the AKAs, and then there's the Qs, and then there's the Deltas. Then there's the Kappas.
Whoa.
And then there's this.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. And then there's Phi Beta Sigma, and there's Zeta Phi Beta, and then there's Sigma Gamma Rho.
Sigma Gamma Rho.
Okay, that's eight. Let me see. Let me count them again. Sigma Gamma Rho, Zeta Phi Beta, AKA Delta, and then there's Alpha, and there's Kappas, and there's Qs, and there's Sigmas. Now, I wasn't a mathematician major in school. I didn't major in math. But last I checked, that was eight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Well,
that's eight, right?
Well, brother, we can't forget about the IOTAs. Come on now. They just celebrated their 59th anniversary, brother. We can't leave the IOTAs out.
Okay, let me again, maybe it was my count. So let me count this again. And then you can tell me if I miscount.
Okay, yeah.
Zetas, Sigma Gamma Rho, AKA, and then Deltas. That's four, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's A5A, and then there's Kappas, and then there's Sigmas, and then there's Qs. So that's four. And so I put that four, and I put that with the other four. I think that's eight. 1, 2, 3, 4. I even used my fingers. See, you want me to do the count again? I keep counting to eight, and you keep throwing something else in. I can't count that far. When I get to eight, I stop. So don't make me do that on there. Don't make me do that on there. Like I said, anyway.
Okay.
Look, you're on air with an alpha and a noob. Let's go ahead and get this roll.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go ahead and get it rolling. So the first thing I want to talk about are your Arizona Cardinals. I'm about to say it. It's not going to be very popular. I don't really care. Then again, it might be very popular. So I watched the Raiders and the Cardinals. I'm going back a week. And
right,
the second half, completely different than the first half. Kyler Murray was almost let go. The play calling, the 25 plays that they run right out the gate, the scripting, I don't know what the hell they're doing. I'm being honest. I don't get that. I don't get the scripting. I don't get if the plays aren't working, why do you keep running them? The second half of the game, he took the restraints off, let Kyler be Kyler. A lot of things went their way. The Raiders helped them as much as they can because that's what the Raiders do. And they came back and won that game. And then this week, we did the 25 plays again. They didn't work. No real adjustments. No real movement. No real pre-snap stuff. Look, I'm tired of people blaming Kyler. I know Kyler has his own issues. I've said them before. I get it. I don't think he's as in tune as he should be. But at what point are we going to start blaming Cliff and Kai and stop blaming Kyler for everything? What point does that happen?
Well, Paul, I think that's way overdue for those two to be blamed for what's going on with the Cardinals because, I mean, it's bad. It took 58 passes for Murray to get 314 yards. Oh, and by the way, how many touchdowns did they score Sunday against the world champions? None.
Well, none.
They had four field goals. None, Paul. None. And it is the Rams. They are the world champions, and they're good, and they dominate the Cardinals. They've won 11 of the past 12 games against this football team, and they're very good. They didn't win the Super Bowl. They didn't just hand them the Super Bowl trophy in February for nothing. That's an excellent football team. But, again, you lose seven straight games at home, Paul. Seven consecutive home games. What is that? Who does that?
The Cardinals. That's who does that. The Cardinals do that. That's my whole point. Listen, we could talk about all day. If you want, we can sit here. We could dedicate a three-hour show to what Kyler needs to do, how he needs to not, you know, act babyish. We could do a show on that. That's fine. But if we're really being honest about this, the Cardinals, the coach, the GM, and I honestly believe the owner at a certain point, they don't look at the big picture of anything. I know they're going to get one of the best receivers in the game back. I know that. But, Ed, if we're funny, I mean, if we're being honest, his last few games before he got suspended, or rather before he got hurt, they weren't world-beater games. And he's not going to be the magic elixir to fix everything when he comes back.
No.
And I don't understand how they're treating it like, oh, well, as long as he comes back, everything is going to be fine. And I don't see it.
It's not going to be fine because you get 70 yards rushing against the Rams. Yeah, Hollywood went off. He had 14 catches for 140 yards because that was Kyler's main target, other than Greg Dortch and, you know, Zach Ertz and others. But, no, DeAndre Hopkins is not going to be the be-all, end-all to come back and resurrect this football team because they've got more issues than what they have on offense. This thing goes deeper than just the inability of them to get into the end zone, the inability for them to have a lead and actually hold a lead. Look how piss poor they played against the Chiefs in the opening game, the opening home game, the home opener. And then you go to Las Vegas, you're down 20-0 at halftime, Paul. And then, as you mentioned, the Raiders just gave that game to the Cardinals. In all reality, they should be 0-3. There's no way in the world that the Raiders should have blew that game, blow a 20-0 lead at home to the Cardinals. They should really be 0-3. But, again, the Raiders threw up all over themselves, and they gave the Cardinals the victory. And I'm going to tell you this, going to Charlotte on Sunday is not going to be easy to beat the Panthers. They played really well against the Saints on Sunday. And that's not going to be an easy win. And then the week after that, Paul, they've got the Eagles, who are 3-0. That is an excellent football team as well. So they very well could lose 8 straight games at home. The Eagles are not going to be an easy game to come out of with a victory.
Let me give you this. And online with me is one and only super personality. Ed Cole does all the sports in the Valley. You can hear him everywhere. So let me give you this. 2013 with the Red Raiders, Cliff Kingsbury started out 7-0, ended 1-5.
Yep.
Next year, 2-0, followed by 2-8. 2015, 5-2, switched to 3-4 at the end. 3-1 the following year, turned 2-6 in the end. 4-1 ended 2-6. That's his college. His final year in Lubbock with Texas Tech, started 5-2, finished 0-5. In Arizona, no difference. 2019, 3-3-1, finished 2-7. 6-3 the year after, went 2-5. And then this year started 10-2, went 1-5, and got blown out by the Rams in the playoffs. At what point do we stop and say, he's just not a good coach? He may be a good coordinator. He may be a good high school coach. He may be a good D1 coach, depending on if it's a top-ranked D1 school. But he's the problem. We can never get a good offensive line. That's the problem of the GM. I know Chandler Jones is not having a great season in Las Vegas, but you let him walk. And let's be honest, when was the last time J.J. Watt was right for an entire year?
Oh, so, gosh. I mean, we're talking years ago when he was healthy in Houston. That's a long time ago.
I don't get splash moves that aren't really doing anything. It's all you have to do, and this is no disrespect. I like the kid a lot, the running back that they got, Connor. Love the kid.
Yeah, James Conner.
If he's your number one RB, that says everything about your team. He is goal line, short yards. That says everything about your team. For those people that think the Arizona Cardinals are a step away or a year away or a player away, they really need to wake up, because they're not.
And the thing is, Paul, this NFC West division is not really that good. I mean, the 49ers are The Seahawks are meh. The Rams are okay. They're not as good as they were last year. And of course, it's we know how it is. The year after you win a Super Bowl, you've got that target on your back, and everybody's gunning for you. And so you know the second season after winning a Super Bowl is going to be that much different, because everybody has got you in their crosshairs. So I don't know. This would be the ideal time for them to try to do something and come out and win this NFC West division, because it's really up for the taking. But they have a lot of issues that they need to clean up. And I agree, it does start with the coaching. And Kingsbury was kind of at a loss for words. He was kind of like, well, maybe we're trying too hard to get perfect plays, and we got to go back to the drawing board. We got to work on this, and we've got to work on that. Well, wasn't that what OTAs and mini camp and training camp was, and that abbreviated preseason? Isn't that what that was for? To work on all the things that you were trying to prepare for the regular season?
But maybe let's try this. Play your players a little bit in the preseason so they get the reps and they go through and know where they're supposed to be. See, I can almost excuse a team like the Rams from saying, we won the Super Bowl, long season, still got the hangover. We're not going to – and McVay doesn't practice. I mean, he doesn't play guys in preseason. He just doesn't. But they won every year he's been there. Cliff,
yep,
guys don't win all year. You need to play your guys. They need to get a rhythm. They need to come in ready to play with some work. The best, my opinion, the best quarterback in the NFL is that alien that plays in Kansas City. You know what he did?
No question.
Because he had all these receivers that he didn't have last year with Tariq leaving. What did he do? Played preseason so that way he could gain the game time speed reps with them. Cliff didn't think his team needed that. Khan didn't think his team needed that. Don't throw Kyler in a headset and have him calling plays. Let him run the damn plays. I just don't get this team.
Because they're paying this kid $250 million. And, of course, we know the whole hoopla and the whole mess that was with that clause that was in the contract about him studying at least 4 hours a week. And that was a PR nightmare in itself. That made the team look foolish for even putting that in the contract. And then, like you said, you hinder this young man instead of, like you said, do what they did in the second half against the Raiders. Unleash this kid. Just get the reins off of him and let him do what he does, which is spectacular things. This kid is out of this world talented. He's one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen. Even for as compact as he is, the things that Kyler did, that play he did on that two-point conversion in Las Vegas was a mass. That was a stroke of genius. That was as thrilling a play as you'll see in the NFL in years. But still, the fact that, again, he's got to throw 58 passes and throw for 314 yards and no touchdowns.
Yeah, this team is a wreck. And I'm sure we'll get more into it as the weeks go on. But I do want to ask you, shifting gears a little bit, about the NFL in general. And for those of you that have listened to the show forever, you know this is usually where we take a commercial break. But, hell, hiatus is over. We are just flying right through today. A commercial-free show, commercials, sponsors, forgive me. We'll be back with you next week. Because you know what we do on Thursday? We do picks. And that might be the greatest segment, any picks you will ever find in your life. So, yes, I'm teasing the hell out of it. And on Thursday, because the game starts early, we're going to start with picks early. And the show will be basically picks and winners and a couple notes, and then we get right to it. But, Ed, a couple things I'm noticing about the season so far. Believe it or not, after next week, we're already basically, you know, we're in the first quarter of the season. It's done. I know they play 17 games,
yeah,
but you can't play four games in one quarter to make, you know, to make it work. So there are some divisions that were thought to be super divisions before the season started. Everyone said the NFC West would be great. Everyone said the AFC West would be great. Denver has to be the worst 2-1 team in football. The Raiders are being the Raiders. And somehow the Chargers, I know their quarterback is hurt, but even before he got hurt, they just can't ever get anything right. That division is disappointing. The NFC West is disappointing. What the hell happened to those two divisions that were supposed to be the powerhouses?
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Because you figure, of course, the Seahawks were in transition with losing Russell when he went down to Denver, and they made Geno Smith the quarterback. And you're thinking, you know, Geno's got all the confidence in the world, but still, Geno is not Russell Wilson. And we saw what happened on Sunday against Atlanta when he throws an interception. They're trying to rally and get a victory over Atlanta. They lose. San Francisco scores 10 points. That was an 11-10 game on Sunday night in Denver. Wow, that was some kind of game, Paul. And of course, we talk about the Cardinals and all their issues. And the Rams are going to sort themselves out because, you know, Sean McVay is going to get this team together. And once they're together, they've got the best player in the National Football League on defense, number 99. And whenever you've got that guy out there and you've got Cooper Kupp, this kid is an absolute specimen at the wide receiver position. The Rams are going to get themselves together. But, yeah, the Raiders, they go out to Tennessee and, you know, they lose another game. And then it's just like, eh. And then the Chargers score 10 points. They let Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars go in their house and blow them out by four scores. You're like, okay, so what's going on in the league so far this year? What is the deal, huh?
Well, we're finding out, and he's finding out. How did my man Cedric the Entertainer say it? Nathaniel is not a head coach.
Nathaniel
Hackett is a coordinator. Nathaniel Hackett
and Paul, by the way, Cedric the Entertainer, he's a Kappa man. He's a noob.
I saw that, but everyone, I know, We can't take everybody. That's just it. We can't take everybody. So, but he can't coach. It's really just that simple. He doesn't have clock management. He has nothing. He's just not good.
And that is wild, Paul, for the Broncos, as storied a history and a storied a franchise that they've had. And over the years, they've been so good over the years. And, of course, John Elway, you're like, how can John Elway be so bad at recognizing talent, especially from the quarterback position, because they've had a revolving door of quarterbacks ever since Peyton left there.
True, but he has a quarterback now. But Nathaniel,
he does.
Can't coach. He's not a head coach. Every year we have guys that step up, and there's some guys that hit, and there's some guys that miss. He's going to really have to turn around because they are the worst 2-1 team. Credit to them eking out that game on Sunday night. But, bruh, that team is – there is no way. They say, you know, remember, let Russ cook. You've got a good running back. You've got him. You've got good receivers.
Yes.
And when you have that, and it's not clicking, that's chemistry. He started the season wrong when he decided on 4th and 5 to kick an 80-yard field goal instead of putting it in his quarterback's hand. If he put it in, look, if it's 4th and 5 and Russ doesn't make it, you still had 3 timeouts and 1:05 to go. And if Russ doesn't make it, no one said a word to him because you put it in your $250 million quarterback hand. Instead, you trusted your $4 million kicker to kick a 90-yard field goal. It started off bad. It's almost, you know what, Ed, it's like, isn't it? It's true. You ever hear of couples counseling? Not marriage counseling. Couple counseling. If you're going to couples counseling because things ain't wrong, I got a two-word counselor for you. Break up. Because if it's going wrong and you're dating, it's not going to get better when you get married. Couple counselors are ripoffs. That's the best scam in the world. You want to fix your relationship without being married? Come over here to couples counseling. Best ripoff in the world. So when it starts out a certain way, it's going to end a certain way. And we know this.
It does. Let me ask you about the Buccaneers. So do you think they'll be okay? Do you think Todd Bowles will get that team together? 14-12, I didn't expect a low-scoring game like that with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks with Rodgers and Brady on Sunday in Tampa. But I just didn't see what I saw from the Buccaneers from 2 years ago. Of course, teams will change from season to season. And, of course, you know, Bruce Arians is not there anymore. Todd Bowles is the head coach. But what do you see with the Buccaneers? Was that a disappointing loss for you that they only scored 12 points at home?
You know what? No, because basically they had me out there running wide receiver. So when they get their receivers back and they get their defense back, honestly, I thought that was more of a hit on a win by Green Bay than the loss by Tampa. Because with no wide – if we really put – Tampa in a compartment and take a look at it. You got a quarterback that's, you know, no matter what you say, you're a 44-year-old quarterback. No matter how great you are, that quarterback is 44.
Yes.
You got him.
And you're right. You have no wide receivers. You really have no wide receivers to throw to. You're right.
You know, you have no receivers to throw to. Your defensive, your defense is a little bit jacked up right now. And the who's supposed to be the one of the greatest of all time, he is. And Aaron Rodgers, their team's messed up. They go down there, and at the end of the game, they almost let them win. So, honestly, I know it sounds weird because usually you don't say the team that won has more problems than the team that lost. But I would still take Tampa Bay and where they are over Green Bay and where they are because Tampa's only going to get healthy. Green Bay, this is what they have. And the biggest thing of the season showed – me, who Aaron Rodgers is, when in week one, and he's smart. He's very smart, so he cleaned it up the next week. But in week one, you had that goat in Kansas City come out, and he said, when after they played the Cardinals, he said, yeah, we won, but we're still, no, notice all the words I'm using. We're still learning each other. We're only going to get better. The more we play together, we'll work it out. We worked out a lot of kinks in the preseason, but we have to get it better in the pros. Today, we had a great game, and we were able to do some things. Out of Green Bay, what their quarterback said after the first week was, it's going to be a learning experience for these guys. Yeah, I'm not going to really change what I do because I know I'm going to put us in a position. But, I think that they'll come along. There's going to be some growing pains for them, but, yeah, I don't really need to change anything that I do. What's the difference?
I versus
one guy's me. I, me. So I don't think Green Bay's in a great spot. I think he's a great quarterback. I think naturally receivers will get better around him because he's that good. But I don't ever think this is a Super Bowl team. I think it's an Aaron Rodgers team. And everything is about Aaron. And everything is for Aaron. And so Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. It's never about just Tom. Tom elevates everybody. And he takes the blame. He takes, when you give him credit, he deflects. He does all the things that you want your leader to do. So, yeah, Green Bay won, but I think Tampa's in a better spot.
I agree. You're right. Plus, you're right. They were a mass unit, especially on offense. They had so many guys on the injury report out. So when these guys are healthy, when Tom has got his complete complement of wide receivers, oh, yeah, they're going to be clicking. Because Todd Bowles is an outstanding coach. We know that. Todd's going to lead them the right way. And as you mentioned, they got to go to the quarterback position.
Exactly. So, no, give me Tom any day of the week. Clock is going to hit us here pretty soon. So I want to get into a couple of topics. And I'm going to let you lead on this one. Give me your thoughts off the cuff, ASU football. There you go.
Dumpster fire. You have 6 yards rushing against the number 13 team in the country. They run for 205 yards. Here's the cliff notes. This is all you need to know. 5 sacks. Your offensive line lets down Emory Jones. The kid's running for his life the entire game. He throws 2 interceptions. There you go. That's it in a nutshell. You're already dealing with the fallout from Herm Edwards getting let go. Sean Aguano's in a tough position because he's thrust into the head coaching position on an interim basis. Sean's an outstanding coach. We saw him. He's been good for years as a high school coach here in Arizona. So I have no doubt that should he be the head coach, should they appoint him as the permanent head coach, he's going to take this team places. But now this team is an absolute mess. And I know you're feeling it right now as this is your alma mater, and you're seeing this team at 1-3, just an absolute abysmal organization right now, and I really don't see any hope in sight for them.
Well, you're 100% correct. I'm looking back, and it says everything you need to know about ASU football. Go back to 2021. They had 0 5-star recruits, 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. 4, 5 4-star recruits, a ton of three stars. Some transfers, and then everybody else, right? Then you go back to last year. The 2 years ago, they were ranked number 50-something in recruiting. This year, they were ranked number 103. This year, they had 1 4-star recruit. So in the not 0 5-star recruit. So, Ed, basically this is something I said, and you know our good friend, Mr. Michael Caratenuto, he always gets on me for saying this, but it's really the truth. And I told you, I'm America's greatest truth teller. You can't win in Division I big boy football if you don't have 1 5-star recruit on your team that you're developing. You just won't win that way. It's simple. I'm not giving some rocket science answer. I'm not reinventing the wheel. You simply will not win if you don't have the right type of athletes to play Division I football. You can hit on
Absolutely.
A three-star. You can definitely hit on a three-star. I'm not saying that, like, three-star athletes aren't good. You can hit on them. But when you have the fives, a lot of fives and a lot of fours, you don't have to work as hard to make sure those threes hit. Because then when those threes
no.
hit, they're now complementing the fives and the fours. When you have no five-stars and four-stars, you're counting on three-stars to hit at Division I. You can't win that way. We are, and I say we because that's my school, we are a middling team and a middling position and a middling conference since our conference president didn't have, at the time, didn't have, Ed, but close your ears, didn't have the cojones to do what a real conference does and go out and since he didn't do that. We are now a version of the WAC. We now are a version of the Big West. That's all we are when USC and UCLA leave. And we are a middling team. If we were in the Big West right now, we'd still be a middling team. And we'd be that team that's always happy with eight wins. You have a disastrous, disastrous coaching gig that's going on right now. No one, ASU wanted everything in them for Herman to finish this year and for the suspensions
yep.
to come down or the ruling to come down so you could go out there and hire a coach that would know what was happening. But because Herm couldn't even beat a middling team that's not a high-ranking D1 school at home, you have to fire him. So when you fire him, now you get, and this is no disrespect to the coach they have now, he's not a Division I top five in terms of conferences head coach. That's not his first job out of high school. And again, no disrespect to him. But you don't go from high school to a major conference and then 2 years later, 3 years later, you're a Division I coach. He's not
right.
ready
yeah.
for that.
Yeah, that ascent does not happen. I mean, that's very rarely, if ever, happens that a guy would go from the high school ranks, as you mentioned, all the way to a head coach that quickly. You got to put in the work. You got to pay your dues. You got to toil and strive to be a head coach. But due to the circumstances with Herm, he was quickly elevated to the interim head coach position. And I know that's a lot for him. He may be in over his head so far. I mean, it's a lot to deal with, and still the fallout from the investigation, and it's just a black eye on the entire football program, Paul. That they went through this investigation and everything happened. It's just not good. And what 4-5-star recruit in their right mind would look at Arizona State over any other major school across this country and say, I want to go to ASU over in Alabama or a Georgia or any other ranked team or a Notre Dame or any other major team with a major name to it?
I'm going to even give you one further. Why not? Why would you even go there over UNLV? Why would you go there over in Indiana, over a school? See, here's the thing that we think about ASU, that they're ASU. They're in the Pac-12. That's the Conference of Champions. That's BS. Because what have they accomplished? If you go back and look at their record, and you go all the way
Nothing.
Back past Graham, every other year, every 3 years, they have a come-up year. They win 9-10 games. And everybody says, oh, wow, next year's the year. And the following year, they win like 7. They are a middle-of-the-road team. And the Pac-12 has become a middle-of-the-road conference. And, Ed, I know we're about to get
yep.
on the Suns here, but I'm going to say this in closing. I saw the Big Ten during COVID, and the Big Ten told me everything I needed to know. They said, you know what, Ohio State, you cannot go to the playoffs. You can't participate in the playoffs because you didn't play enough games. That's on us because of COVID.
Right.
We didn't have you play, and now there's not enough, so you won't be able to go. And someone looked at them in the Big Ten and said, oh, you want to rethink that? And they said, you know what, actually, we're going to change our minds because Ohio State carries the water for the Big Ten. Michigan people may be mad at me for saying it, whatever. Ohio State carries the water bucket for the Big Ten. It's really just that simple.
You
so they came
that.
Back and they said, you know what? What the hell were we thinking? We drank way, way too much bourbon last night. Ohio State, damn it, you're in. We're putting them in. The Pac-12 said years ago, you know what we're going to do? Our moneymaker is SC. Because when SC is good, everybody watches the Pac-12. When SC was good, everybody watched SC Stanford. When they were good, everyone watched SC UCLA. Everybody watched SC versus Oregon. And those are conference. Then everybody watched SC Notre Dame. And then everybody watched SC and whoever else they played out of conference. The Pac-12 and their infinite wisdom said, not only are we going to punish them for what they did under Pete Carroll, we're going to punish their players. We're going to take Heisman's away. We're going to do everything we can to show them it's not about them, it's about the conference. And ever since they've done that, the Pac-12 has slipped. There's never anyone in the playoffs. There's never anyone getting big-time national games in terms of bowl games. It stopped. When they decided to poke the hole instead of protect the team that was carrying the water, they screwed up. And then they come out and they say, you know what? We're not going to do like the SEC. We're going to form an alliance with the Big Ten and with the ACC. And that way we'll pinky swear promise not to take each other's teams. How do you trust the conference that told you Ohio State wasn't getting in the playoffs and they got in anyway? So what happens? USC and UCLA is like, the hell with that noise. We're not going nowhere fast. Our conference sucks. Our conference president can't, the only major conference that can't get a direct TV deal, we're a bowl team. Bro, we're the WAC. This is the WAC conference now. That's all it is. And so who's carrying the water? Oregon? Come on, man.
Oregon?
Come on, man. So we are where we're supposed to be. And then ASU rolls through. And look, if Sean Aguano, and I know I'm pronouncing his last name wrong. If Sean Aguano comes in to Texas A&M, then there's a problem. Coach gets fired. He's there to run the ship. Guess what they got? Bunch of five stars. Bunch of four stars. Say that happens at LSU. Bunch of five stars. Bunch of four stars. Say that happens at Tennessee.
Yep.
Enough five stars. Enough four stars. He's taken over a program that has not had a five-star recruit in 2 years and a handful of four stars, and everyone else is three. And you put him in the position to be the leader, and now he has to go out there and recruit for a school that's going to end up on probation, that's no longer good in a good conference, that is losing at home to East, West, Texas, Michigan, and you have no other ballers. Now, there's one thing I know. Ballers like to play with proper billing. There are none. So there are going to be guys that take a scholarship because it's a D1 school. They're going to get an education. But no one's coming to ASU right now saying, man, that's the place to go because we're going to win. We're going to be on TV. And we're going to be okay and I'm going to get seen. No. No one's coming here because of that. Because we're not going to win.
Because none of that's going to happen here, Paul.
Exactly. And for whatever reason, no one can see it. But listen, we got 10 minutes. Got to talk. Sons. Like I said, apologize, sponsors, for the commercials. Make it up to you. I promise. First thing you thought of with Sarver, the Suns, Media Day, go.
That it was well beyond time for them to move on from Sarver, and the pressure was there, of course. When PayPal said that they're jumping off, if Sarver does not sell the team, if he's a part of the team next year, money talks. We all know that. The dollars talk. Pressure was, of course, going to come on Sarver, and I felt bad because it was obviously a cloud over the Phoenix Suns that Robert Sarver was still the managing partner, essentially the owner of the basketball team. So now they're going to find some new owners. We hope some quality class ownership to come in and right the ship for this organization. But the players and the coaches have to move on regardless of whatever is going to happen with ownership. They've got to move on and prepare for the season the way that they do. 2 years ago, this team was in the NBA Finals, Paul, and there's no reason to think that they cannot be competitive again. And Let's see we know the Warriors, the world champions, are in their division, so it's not going to be easy for them to get back to the NBA Finals. But I love the direction. Of course, under Monty Williams, the core guys are still back. The guys that led them to the playoffs last year, that led them to the NBA Finals two years ago, it's there. Yeah, there's always going to be that stigma about Sarver and ownership until they completely move him out and they get the new ownership in, and then things change from a culture standpoint. Things get more galvanized, and the organization comes together as a whole. Because as it is right now, we know the organization is fractured because of what happened inside for decades under Sarver's leadership. So once that gets cleaned up and that gets cleared out, then I think the future is really going to be even brighter for this basketball team, Paul. And free agents are going to want to start coming back here, because I'm sure a lot of them that are looking at the Suns are monitoring what's going on with this ownership situation. And until that gets fixed and that gets handled, a lot of these guys that want to come play before the Suns, they're going to be on hold right now. They're going to be like, let me kind of see what's going on with here. Once they get this ownership going, maybe I'll consider coming here.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something. I was on good friend, you know him well, Dave King. I was on his show, not this Saturday, the Saturday before. Appreciate you, Dave, for having me on. Sun Solar Panel, great show. Check it out every Saturday morning.
Yeah, great,
so,
dude. Love Dave King.
What I said was, I'm starting a PR firm called The Obvious Idiot. And it's for people that are too stupid to know what to say when they step in front of a microphone. And I'll get this out quick, because I know time is our enemy. If Robert Sarver had came out and said, you know what, I apologize. Let me just start with that. I 100% apologize. In the last 18 years here, I've grown a lot. I hope you can see that by the way I've ran the team over the last 3 years as we ascended to a good spot. I tried to be more hands-off. Mm-hmm. I tried to let the people that know basketball better than me, better than I ever will. I would try to let them run it. I've made a bunch of mistakes. I apologize. I can't apologize enough for those mistakes, for the people I hurt, for the things I did, for the things I said. All I can do is ask the city of Phoenix, ask my employees, ask the everyone involved that I possibly could have hurt in any way. I'm asking for your forgiveness as I step away for a year to try to become a better, not just a better owner, but a better person and a better man. And so when I come back, I will gladly pay that fine. And hopefully in a year, you guys will see the change and will have forgiven me. Dude still has his team. Because there's nothing this country loves better than giving someone a second chance. He would still have his team.
Of course.
Hell, they gave my man in Indianapolis with the Colts, he got caught with illegal drugs. He still owns his team.
Yeah, Jim Irsay.
Your boy in Cleveland.
Yes.
Your boy in Cleveland. Cutting shady deals. Still has his team. If you fall on the sword, you keep your team. He forgot to call The Obvious Idiot a PR firm, and that's why he's out. I don't agree with everything that's in it, but it's in there. I don't agree with that fine, but I'll pay it. This, I guess in this culture we live in now, people aren't as forgiving. Dude, what are you doing? So, yes, they had to move on. At Media Day yesterday, I know that James Jones, GM, when he was asked directly, what do you think about Sarver selling the team? His exact words were, it's about time, and it's time to move on from it. Didn't mince words, didn't say, let me think about it. Right out, it was time for him to go. It was time to move on.
Hmm.
That shadow is moving on. Even though he hasn't officially sold the team, you know he's not coming back. So in that sense, I think it's a good move on. The other thing that was hanging over the Suns was Jay Crowder. Now, there's a lot of speculation. Jay isn't happy with the role. Jay isn't happy with the upcoming role. Jay isn't going to be as happy coming off the bench. Listen, I've said it, and I'm going to keep saying it. I want a Jay Crowder on my team. I do not want Jay Crowder to be my starting power forward. He just simply doesn't have enough size. As much as Jay can hit good shots, Jay doesn't shoot well enough. And as good as he is, as a sixth man, he's great. As a starter, I'm not as comfortable. I'm sorry. So I said I thought they should have moved him for a big man a while ago. Now he's away from the team, and while they search for a trade, see what assets they can get for him. And in all honesty, as much as I like him as a person, and I like what he's done for the team the last 2 years, I think it's time to move Cam Johnson in that starting spot, and let's let Cam do what he does.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because Jay, you're right. As good as he is, when he's on and he's hitting threes and he's playing a very good defense, he's good. But then that doesn't happen on a nightly basis, and you need consistency at that starting power forward position, which you very well could get with Cam Johnson. As you mentioned, if you slide that young man in that starting role and slide the Tar Heel in there and see what he can do as a starter, yeah, I 1,000,000% agree with you on that. Jay did a lot of great things, as you mentioned, over the last 2 or 3 years, and he was instrumental on them getting to the NBA Finals a couple of years ago. But
without
over time, things change and players change, and feelings about each other from an organization standpoint, from their standpoint, and from his standpoint as a player, things change, and guys want to move on and go to greener pastures, so they think.
Yep. I couldn't agree with you more. And like I said, not discounting what he does, but they need the Suns can go and get another scorer one or two ways. You can either go out and trade for one, because I hate when people say this. Idiots say this dumb crap all the time. Well, all they need to do is trade for a shooter. That's all they need to do? Oh, okay. We'll go and do that right now, because we're not going to have to give up an asset to get one. I hate when people say that. That so irritates me. That's like me saying to someone, well, all you got to do is just go make more money. I'll go into the boss's office now. And I just tell them, you know what? I just need to make more money. That's not how it's done. You have to have – they got to fit under the cap. They got to fit your scheme. They got to be a player. There's not that many that dudes. So the Suns have two options. Give up a ton of assets and go out there and try to find someone to play. And then you weaken your bench and you weaken your rotation. And that hurts you there if anything goes wrong. Or you can develop. I think this is time. Now, we've reached a point where D.A., who we'll get into a little bit more on Thursday, and the way he reacted at Media Day, but we'll get into that more. But it's time for him to step up and be that other person. It is time for Mikal offensively to step up and be more of a consistent threat. And it's time for Cam Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe if you have a DA that's averaging a meaningful 24, 23, and 13, you win. Not a bullcrap 23 and 13, but a meaningful one, they win. I also firmly believe if Devin Booker becomes, I can't believe I'm going to say this, more selfish, they win. There's times where he just needs to take over and say, to hell with it, run through me. Run through me. I know what plays we run. I know we were trying to stick team, but run through me. And I'm going to carry us home. And if I don't, then damn it, I apologize. But we're going to win or lose on my shot. And I think that's what they need to do. So.
Yep. I couldn't agree with you more. It is time for DA to step up. This is it was a lot for him being a top draft pick coming out the year he did. There's a lot of pressure on him, of course. But, yeah, it is time for him to move to that next level. And, yeah, I wholeheartedly agree that Booker should be more of an alpha male, that he should want the ball more, like you said, and take things over and just say, look, fellas, I'm taking this thing over. And you're right. We live and die by what I do, because I'm the superstar. I'm the all-star. I'm the guy that makes this offense run, and it should go through me.
100%. Bruh, we didn't do one commercial. My sponsor's going to kill me. That's okay, though. That's okay. But time is about to get us. Please tell everyone, you know, your social, all that stuff, where they can check you out.
Yes, sir. Twitter at EdCole43. On IG, EdwardCole301. Look me up on Facebook, Edward Cole. That's where you can find me.
See, just that easy. Man, I appreciate you hanging out with me as we come back off hiatus. This was a lot of fun. We'll be back on Thursday, the same time. Us Speed Show, because here's how it happened. I give, if Ed is able to join us, let me tell you how it works. I give picks to put money in your pocket. Ed isn't like that. Ed is the good guy, not me. I believe in cigars. I believe in bourbon. Ed, that's not it. So when I give you these picks on Thursday, get ready to go to your kid's college fund, because I'm about to put money in your pocket. And that's happening on Thursday. Make sure you're checking us out at the Sports Cave, Caves with K on the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram. And you can get me directly at PLR on sports. But know that I don't just talk sports. I talk everything. I even talk Days of Our Lives. Damn it, judge me if you want to. I don't care. With all that being said, my brother, I appreciate you. Until Thursday, this has been the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. Big thanks to my guy, Ed Cole. Everyone, this is how we end this show. It is so good to hear this again. This phrase, Temps, bring us home.